You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for May Day, May 1st, 2020. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the Cornfield Resistance, where we would join the general strike, but we can't decide which of us is labor and which of us is the capitalist. It's the Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal. Happy International Workers' Day, darling.
Happy International Workers' Day, Driftglass.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know which one of us is management and which one of us is the worker, but I do know that you're the talent that goes to his trailer.
Yes. It'll be in my trailer. I'm the one who I'm asking my wife to lay me off so I can collect unemployment so that we can.
Not going to happen.
No? No? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we have a good division of labor. You put together the show notes. Mm-hmm. I edit the show after we record it.
You do? Yes.
And you make sure I have tea and dinner.
That's right.
After that, while I'm That's editing. Right. So.
And I go around the house saying, shut up, everyone.
We're recording. Be quiet. Yeah.
We have a whole now that everyone's home. I'm actually, we've gotten pretty good at, you know, I can set up and take down my little podcast area, which as we've noted in with visual evidence is basically me head in my closet for the last 10 years. Yeah. Pretty quick. So it's Friday. Just so you know, it is in fact May 1st. We're recording this on May 1st. And oh my goodness.
Quite a week.
It's been quite a week. Where would you like to start, Blue Gal?
Well, I think there's a couple things I'd like to talk about. One, I'd like to talk about lawyers for a minute.
Okay.
What did I do this time? Particularly, I wanted to talk about a couple of things where, you know, we talk a lot about trusting professionals and how, at least I do, that I've had a viral tweet that said, look, people who like Donald Trump because he's not a politician need to have their teeth drilled by not a dentist.
Right.
And Laura Ingraham is one to always say, don't trust the experts. Does she have her hair done by, you know, her lawn guy, or does she actually go to a professional to have her hair done? You can tell the way attorneys behave as to whether there is a case or not, or whether they are simply collecting a check.
Yes.
And this became very clear this week in the case of Sean Hannity.
Yes.
Sean Hannity was very upset that the New York Times was publishing articles indicating that his behavior concerning the COVID-19 virus and his poo-pooing it, nobody's died yet, and this is all a hoax to hurt President Trump, blah, 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 that actual human beings had taken his actual advice and based on what he actually said, took a cruise. One person took a cruise and caught the coronavirus. And there were direct result of Fox News portraying themselves as a news network and Sean Hannity portraying himself as a truth teller and them believing it.
Right.
And the Murdoch brothers, who have inherited the running of Fox News from Rupert Murdoch, their dad, has heard from the attorneys that they should be concerned about their primetime, quote unquote, talent. Laura Ingraham continuing to push hydrochloroquine as some sort of miracle cure, and the poo-pooing of the seriousness of this.
Yeah.
You know, Tucker last night said something to the effect of, well, anybody under 10 can't actually transmit it. And I wrote, you mean because the little kid's hands are so clean all the time? Is that why? You know, just no concept of, no, this is a communicable disease.
Right.
And it can get anywhere. And you need to be clean and careful and not make it out to be nothing because you're afraid of what that's going to do to the president's poll numbers, the so-called president. Hannity, in particular, was really peeved at the New York Times. They had three specific articles that he was mad about because they indicated that watching Hannity, as a study by the University of Chicago pointed out, Hannity in particular had led actual viewers to ruin. Trusting Hannity had led to them getting sick.
Right.
And so Hannity said on his show, I believe it was Wednesday night, they're calling me and the president of the United States essentially murderers. And we're going to take legal action, right? Yes,
that's right.
We're going to take serious legal action against the New York Times.
Did they get one of those diamond and silk letters that you got?
Yeah, really? Yeah. It's another Diamond and Silk's been fired by Fox for pushing quackers. Oh. They think that's going to help them. My attorney is going to take legal action. We're going to take legal action. And he said it on his radio program. He said it on his TV program. This is coronavirus hysteria.
Yeah, I have one question.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't Michael Cohen his attorney?
Well, yes.
Isn't his attorney already in jail?
In jail. Michael Cohen, individual two, is Sean Hannity.
I'm going to get my attorney out of prison long enough to sue you. Yeah.
And Michael Cohen is in house arrest now because of coronavirus.
That's right, which is the humane thing to do. Yes.
Well, they should do that for everybody.
They should.
Anyway, the person representing Hannity in this particular case is actually a step down from Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. It's Charles Harder, who is also Donald Trump's personal attorney. He took that client as well. And he's the guy who killed Gawker. He's the attorney who killed Gawker. Right. So he's a real go-getter. What can I say?
Well, he's a hard worker, that one. Oh, yeah.
Charles Harder wrote a 12-page letter to the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read that, I went, aha, billable hours.
Yeah.
You've got probably three paralegals. Now, I'm saying this from some experience. I am not an attorney.
No.
I was married for 12 years to the president of the ACLU of Alabama, who is also a law professor. He always had former students over to the house and they would talk shop. That's how I know what court is like, what depositions are like. I know the dirty, what you say at a dinner party about your profession is sometimes some of the best information you can get.
And just in full disclosure, I was married for 10 years to a human rights judge, human rights judge and an attorney as well. So I know
you had all the dirty, you got the dirty side of it from, the cocktail party circuit where you hear this crazy client did this. Well, I wrote a letter. I did this. Yeah.
And all their lawyer friends. So they.
Right.
They,
exactly. Yeah. And and particularly in my case, because he was a professor and we would have meetups with people who were 30, 33, 34 years old, were junior partners at best. And so they were doing the depositions, the initial depositions with lots of clients.
They're cranking 100, 110 hours a week just to get up the
ladder. Just to keep up with the paper. It's doc review, it's interviews, it's transcripts, it's all that kind of paperwork.
Yep.
And so Charles Harder didn't compose the entire letter here. I'm just telling you, the 12-page letter was composed by several lawyers who billed Sean Hannity by the hour. Had this 12-page letter, full of invective about these three specific articles that defamed his client, cease and desist, published a retraction and apologized. That's the ask.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a billable hour situation.
Yes.
The New York Times has what is called a general counsel.
Yes.
Which means he's got one client. He's got a desk at the New York Times. He doesn't work for anybody else. And he doesn't bill the New York Times by the hour. They have him on retainer.
Mm-hmm.
His letter was less than 70 words because he's not going to waste any time on this. And basically the last sentence of the letter was, I can read the whole letter to you, actually. I write in response to your 12-page letter alleging that your client, Sean Hannity, was defamed by three columns in the New York Times. The columns are accurate, do not reasonably imply what you and Mr. Hannity allege they do, and constitute protected opinion. In response to your request for an apology and retraction, our answer is no. The end.
It's a haiku.
And I can guarantee you, David McCraw, the general counsel he's also senior vice president at the New York Times.
Yeah.
Typed that himself with pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Hannity changed the subject by buying New York Yankees tickets for a bunch of 500 New York Yankees tickets for healthcare workers, which it's not clear when those tickets are going to even be useful to the healthcare workers.
Like Hannity himself, those tickets are irredeemable. So
exactly, exactly. But it was a way to change the subject and create some good press for himself.
Sure.
And as I said at my post at Crooks and Liars, Hannity got what he wanted from his attorney, which is, I'm going to take legal action and demand that the New York Times retract these terrible lies about me and the president of the United States. And he doesn't have to ever follow up on that because his viewers will, they do not have a memory of what happened yesterday.
At all. The minute the channel goes off the air, they sort of go into shutdown mode. And the next day is a brand new moment in history.
New outrage.
There's no past or future.
They shook their fist at the New York Times and legal action and writing a serious letter with demanding justice. Right. I want to let everyone know that we are not going to get into with any great detail the charges that the Russians and a person that has changed their story multiple times and a media that can't seem to help doing the but her emails story over and over again, year after year, charges against Joe Biden.
No,
we're just not going to spend a lot of time on that.
If you are alive and if you have access to a radio or television, you already know exactly what is going on.
And especially a computer on Twitter.
Right.
I the things that I wanted to say about this are these three things. One is old sex scandals are Putin's favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it is a huge red flag. And this goes along with the whole knowing what attorneys do. This particular person was deposed by more than one activist, feminist law firm who do nothing but who this is their thing and they want justice for their clients.
Mm-hmm.
She was deposed by them. More than one firm deposed her. None of them took her case. And that to me is a huge red flag.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, what someone said on Twitter today, which is we've got one thing we've got to do this year, and that is vote Republicans and Donald Trump out of office to save this country, to save this planet. And this person on Twitter said, Joe Biden can shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and I will still vote for him because that is apparently the standard at which our politics is engaged right now.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about that. But that is right now, that is how dirty politics is right now.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying.
It is horrifying. I get it. I get angry. I lash out. I'm just as, you know, devastated by what's happening as anybody else. But remember, I even try to remember from time to time that Joe Scarborough was a human being. It's very difficult.
It's difficult. It's very difficult sometimes. Well,
I do. I really try to pray about that, you know, because I'm so angry at him. But we got to get to our humanity. And also we got to fight like this is the world we're talking about. Like your drinking water matters because it does. Your kids' education. We got Betsy DeVos in charge of your kids' education. Mm-hmm. We've got a coal lobbyist in charge of the EPA. The rest of the planet is what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who is going to go into the White House is going to be a member of the Democratic Party and is going to put Democrats in charge who know something about government. Mm-hmm. Instead of Donald Trump's idiot son-in-law trying to monetize a pandemic. And that's what you get. You get a, you know, institutional Democrat in the White House. That's what you get. And that is so much better than what we've got. We have to be grateful for it. I'm not asking you to thank Joe Biden every day for the goodness in his heart. I'm saying this is what you get. This is your choice.
And if you can't see that, you're operating at a level of delusion or privilege that puts you so far out of the orbit of normal human beings that you cannot distinguish between clear and obvious imperfect moral choices. And that is the sign of a child. Now, I hope you grow up. I mean, I voted. I've said this a million times. I voted for John Anderson because mm-hmm. Reagan mm-hmm. was crazy, and Jimmy Carter was not perfect. And
you got 8 years. You got 8 years of Reagan, and it destroyed.
Yeah,
and it destroyed this, unions. It destroyed private sector unions.
Well, it started rolling this whole ball downhill.
Yep.
And it is more in sorrow than in anger. I try to get across that there's a little back and forth I had. First of all, the smart thing to do is stay off Twitter because, you know, there's one person I know on Twitter and this other person I know on Twitter. I think I've identified the problem. It's but there is a back and forth, and there's a sort of consensus on Twitter about, you know, the left has its crazies and the right has its crazies. And you know mm-hmm. what? 20 years ago, I was telling a guy I worked with at the city of Chicago who was making the same fucking argument. Yes, you're right. The 10% of my party is just as crazy as the 90% of your party that's crazy. The difference is the 10% of my party never gets any power at all.
Right.
The crazies on the right run the White House and the Supreme Court and 1.5 houses of Congress, used to be 2 just a little while ago, governor's offices, state legislatures, and that's where they live. The crazies on the right now live in the White House. The crazies on the left live on Twitter. The crazies on the right make actual horribly destructive policies that kill people. Mm-hmm. The crazies on the left make memes. You know, and if you cannot understand the difference between the two, then you are living in such a completely removed from reality, divorced from consequence universe. Or now I'll concede this, or you are so down in the hole that everyone sucks, that your life is just a tragedy from start to finish. Everyone has let you down, and you're willing to roll the dice and say, fuck it all, burn it all down. Okay. Well, you know, that's your choice. I will never again roll my eyes and say, let's screw it, let's burn it all down, because I've seen what the consequences are. I've seen what happens when you decide it's worth hurting people horribly to make your glorious revolution. Mm-hmm. And then it doesn't mm-hmm. happen. And you're like, well, and then you go around blaming everyone else. You know, it's the secret DLC plot to make all the black people vote against my candidate. No, that isn't a plot. It's democracy. And I'm mm-hmm. sorry that it disagrees with you, but that's the way it works. If you have a better system and you have a way of making your better system into law, I'd love to hear it. But again, if you're saying, well, let's just get rid of shit I don't like and let's rearrange chairs so that they all suit me without actually taking into consideration voting and registration and how things get passed from word of mouth into how a bill becomes a law, then I don't want to hear from you because you're not a serious person.
You're on a roll. I'm going to put you on another roll on another topic because I think we're arguing with the straw man at this point.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a fun straw man, isn't it?
Fun straw man. You wrote in our notes, both ciderism is 100% immune to the coronavirus plague. Yeah. And you have multiple examples of this.
It's just, oh God, this is where.
Can I just say the words? Yeah. Justin Amash is an independent.
He's an independent. I'm an independent now. I'm a libertarian independent.
Independent constitutional conservative. I don't like the tweeting.
Well, you got to admit, I mean, he suddenly discovered the Republican Party is full of Republicans and ran halfway out of it. Yeah. Cause you can't just side with the vicious psycho liberal lunatics like me, because he wants a libertarian paradise. And he decided instead that he was going to run in the Libertarian Party because he's for, and this week alone, he has sided more or less with the lunatics in Michigan who mm-hmm. took over a state house. And he's running on, the old timers will get this joke and then I'll explain it for anyone who isn't. He's running in the McCain-Lieberman party. And if you don't know what the McCain-Lieberman party is, back in 2006, when David Brooks was still exactly as awful as he is now, and when both-siderism was becoming the coin of the realm, because these were people who had bet the farm on George W. Bush being a brilliant military
tactician. The Iraq War. Yeah.
The Iraq War. Massive tax cuts will solve all of our problems. The housing market's going to go up forever, so we never have to worry about deficits. You can fund everything. It's all going to be great. And every single fucking thing they said was going to happen collapsed under them. And on top of that great collapse was all of their rhetoric about what idiots liberals are and what traitors liberals are. And liberals don't know shit and blah, 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 blah. So there was an entire industry of just kicking the shit out of people like us because Republicans were never going to lose again and everything was going to be great forever. And we were going to win in Iraq and be home by Christmas. And when that all fell apart and liberals started saying, hey, maybe it's time we started punching back just a little bit. That's when David Brooks lost his mind and decided he had to shed his old persona, which was working for the Weekly Standard, calling liberals stupid and crazy and treasonous and awful and blah, blah, blah. And instead go, you know, really, it's both sides. It's both sides. Let's not judge anybody, especially me, because I'm the biggest asshole of the bunch. So let's all make an agreement among each other here in the Beltway that no one's ever going to judge anyone ever again. So let's put the blame where it belongs, with the extremes on both sides, Blue Gal.
Mm-hmm.
And when liberals mounted a challenge to Joe fucking Lieberman, David Brooks wrote a fiery column about how the Tom delays on the right and the Netroots delays on the left are basically wrecking democracy. And there's a third party out there, Blue Gal. It's called the McCain-Lieberman Party. It's where all the reasonable, sensible, centrist David Brooks people live. And that is the party that Justin Amash is going for. He's going for, I can't side with either the extremes on the left or on the right, because, you know, they're both crazy. But there's millions of people in America who are not being represented by these parties. And those millions deserve a choice on the ballot, meaning I will play the fucking spoiler until someone pays me to do otherwise.
Right.
But he's running on exactly the same delusional fantasy that there has to be this perfect center where millions and millions and millions of people who never show up at the polls and never vote all live. And if you just pitch them the right message, which is a message that's been pitched to this imaginary group for decades, they don't exist. There is no constituency for this. There is a marginal constituency that can tip an election one way or the other. But Justin Amash is never going to be president. And I don't understand what he's doing, frankly, because what he is doing is setting fire to his career now. He's 12 years old. He's a libertarian. When he hits puberty, you know, in 10 years.
He's got a billionaire who's told him that they want an alternative to Trump without having to vote for a Democrat.
Sure. I want an off-ramp. I want an off-ramp from Donald Trump. I don't want to vote for Trump, but I don't want to vote for any goddamn Democrat. And this is
But I need a horse because my ego insists that I need a horse in the race.
Right. And that's what Justin Amash decided to do this week.
Yep.
And again, he's going full libertarian.
He has in Michigan been funded by the DeVos family, like everything else right wing in Michigan.
Yeah.
And let's move on.
Well, and he is. So he's running.
He's running libertarian.
Yeah. And it's
no Democrat is going to vote for him.
No. No. He's talking. The reason he's getting in now, I'll just mention, is, and I'm quoting him directly, the visceral outrage of many partisans to giving Americans an additional choice on the ballot speaks volumes about the ugly, hyper-partisan nature of politics today.
Both sides.
This is precisely the mindset that needs to be challenged and why this campaign is so critical. This is chapter and verse from David Brooks from 14 years ago. And the Beltway common wisdom that says, you know, it's always – the Republicans are never to blame for anything. It's always both sides. It always is both sides. Yep. And there's a lot of cowards and stupid people out there who really want that to be true because it absolves them of any responsibility for picking a fucking side.
Right.
And who swings into action this week? Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd.
I know this will shock you, but Chuck Todd.
I clicked this video for you.
Yeah, and you did.
We ran it at Crooks and Liars as well as your blog. So
well, and it was about the lunatics storming it was in New Jersey. Lunatics. These are all the same plague rats. They're all the same bitter little dick white guys who can't get a date and who are terrified of the future and are terrified of having their manhood taken away from them. They all have guns.
Apparently, as Eli Mistow pointed out in The Nation, they do not have children at home
who can't
go to school.
Well,
because if they did, they would not be demanding reopen. These guys are on either government pensions or disability or something. They have a source of income that they can go on a Wednesday and declare that their state needs reopening. And it's astroturfed. It's just Tea Party 2.0. But well, Chuck Todd didn't want to talk about that.
So Katie Turr wanted to talk about the actual rallies that were happening and why these
because she was at one.
Yeah. She was at one wearing a mask. And it was clear that these people who just are fucking plague rats, as far as I'm concerned, they just want to spread disease as far as they possibly can, because freedom was not something that Chuck Todd wanted to talk about, because then it might involve pointing a finger at a certain group of people who are all politically homogeneous and saying that group is the fucking problem. So instead, Chuck Todd just changed the subject that to from that specific protest and those specific people and this specific issue to, and I'm quoting now, we have a generation of government letting down the public, whether it's WMDs, the Great Recession, or this. So skepticism of government, you have to understand why it's out there. And it's out there on, say it with me now, the left and the right. And I'm like, okay, let's go down that list of things that have disappointed there's Republican Iraq War. There's the Republican recession presided over by the Republican president who meticulously, who deliberately, who ran, you might recall, in 2000. George W. Bush ran on a domestic program of getting rid of the budget surplus. The budget surplus. So that when the recession hit, it was never going to happen. David Brooks swore there would never be another recession again, and he still kept his job. There were no reserves. There was nothing to throw at it. You had to borrow a lot of money because George W. Bush had, in fact, gotten rid of the entire surplus and was now back into gigantic deficit territory, which, of course, no Republican cares about because Republicans don't give a shit about deficits. So Chuck Todd went down the list of things that Republicans have fucked up and said, you know, skepticism of government is legitimate on the left and on the right because he cannot help himself. And I happened to be skipping past MSNBC at that moment and said, oh, shit, now I'm going to have to write about this. And, of course, third and most popular coming in today on Friday, but really,
right on the wire.
Really just perfect. And I really didn't have the energy to do this. I didn't want to do this. I really don't want to write about David Brooks anymore. I want him to be irrelevant. I want him to go away and be irrelevant because I have nothing new left to say about David Brooks, which is perfect because David Brooks has nothing new to say about anything.
I was going to say, there's nothing new to say about America or the economy or voters or anything. No.
Well, apparently America is in great shape.
Oh.
The pandemic has brought us all together. There are no Republicans or Democrats anymore. There are only rippers and weavers.
What?
And weavers, I'm quoting now, try to spiritually hold each other so that we can get through this together. But rippers from Donald Trump on down see everything through the prism of politics and still emphasize division. The rippers, he says, on the left and the right,
Mm-hmm.
are to blame because they take politics as a war that gives their life meaning. Now, I just looked at this and then I held it up to the light to the same fucking column about the delays on the left and the network's delays on the right. Mm-hmm. They're exactly the same column.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same column separated by 14 years. Now, just think for a moment. And he really does go through here and say, you know, yeah, if you just ignore the Donald Trump circus.
Oh, he did. So those are exact words. That's a quote from his article today.
If you just ignore the Donald Trump circus. Yes. If it's a circus that we're not allowed to leave and that can kill us. But if we just ignore it and ignore the fact that he's a Republican and was nominated by the Republican Party and was elected by Republicans and has the full support of the Republican Party, a Congress.
And received more Republican votes in the Republican primaries than any Republican candidate in the history of the Republican Party.
But that's not the problem. The problem is the, quote, polarization industry. I guess you and me remember the polar, which of course consists of equal numbers of left and right, Bluegal, left and right. And I asked my readers to do something for me, and I'm asking the listeners to do the same thing, which is, this is exactly the same column David Brooks wrote 14 years ago. There are these two groups that are eternally at war with each other. They're both equally to blame. They're both divisive. Yeah, Donald Trump's here, but it was time delay back then. So if you just swap the word flamers for rippers and weavers for the McCain-Lieberman party. You have exactly the same column. And of course, in all cases, David Brooks is the hero. And we will ignore the fact that for pretty much his entire, the first half of his career, David Brooks was a ripper. David Brooks established his fucking career stomping on liberals like you and me, calling us traitors and calling us fools and calling us stooges and calling us contemptuous of America and on. There was a cover of him. There are covers from the Weekly Standards of his shit just shitting all over liberals, which he lies about every time he's asked about it. So David Brooks has a long history of launching his career and getting himself onto the New York Times, which is where he's been ever since, by doing exactly the thing that he says is horrible. And since that time, he has said it's the left and the right. It's not Republicans and Democrats. It's this weird Donald Trump thing over here and these rippers and weavers, rippers and weavers, rippers and weavers. That's who's to blame. So let me ask you, in your mind out there, dear listener, hold in your mind all of the shit that Republicans have done to this country over the last 14 years. All the madness, all the sedition, all the ruin, all the misery, all the death Republicans have inflicted on this country over the last 14 years. And hold as much of it in your head as you can. That's the Iraq War. That's climate denialism. That's Katrina. That's the recession. That's Limbaugh. That's Fox News. That's birtherism. That's the fake Tea Party. That's death panels. That's butter emails. That's Merrick Garland. And of course, the entire administration of Donald Trump. Hold all of that in your head. And then imagine that the allocation of blame that David Brooks wrote about 14 years ago is exactly the same as the allocation of blame he wrote today. Mm-hmm. 14 years ago, he was blaming the left and the right. All of that horrifying shit's happened since then, and he's writing the same fucking column. The Sulzberger family's paying him to write the same fucking column to be read by millions and millions of people like Justin Amash, who don't mm-hmm. want to believe that the Republican Party is in fact its own disease, is in fact the problem, is in fact a plague. But instead, somehow it's the left and the right. And if we just find these weavers and centrists, we'll all get along fine. And that put me over the top. I said, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to have to write about David Brooks today. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so I did. Mm-hmm. But it's just maddening that nobody in his universe calls him on any of this shit, mentions any of this shit, will ever talk about any of this shit, will never ask him one solid, interesting question about, yeah, but what about this entire butcher's bill Republicans have laid at the table? Where's the liberal equivalent of any of that? What about the administration of Barack Obama, 8 years? Do you think he was a ripper or a weaver there, buddy? Mm-hmm. And no mm-hmm. one's going to ask him that because David Brooks is a beltway god. And if he were just some mumbling idiot on public transportation raving this shit, I wouldn't care. But he has an audience from NPR to PBS to the New York Times to the lecture circuit that talks to millions of people every day. He's spread this lie for 14 years to millions of people. And the evidence is all around us. All those cowards, all those frauds, all those centrists, all those people who don't want to take a side, don't talk about politics, who want to believe it's the left and the right, and there's a happy middle someplace, all those people are the bastard children of David Brooks.
I want to just add to that I don't want to fall into the bubble of believing that voting for Donald Trump is so crazy or that Donald Trump is so awful that no one would vote for him, because there is still a very real possibility that Donald Trump will get reelected. I'm not trying to depress anybody. I'm trying to make you mad. Donald Trump was lobbied this week by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You know, they can call him up and he can write an executive order making sure that all the meat plants stay open no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter if employees are dying or people are getting sick or it's a disease vector everywhere you go.
Or the meat is contaminated as it comes out of the factory.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And the fact that certain well-funded constituencies can pick up the phone, call Donald Trump, get what they want. Donald Trump is now taking funding away from certain military activities, which yes. are designed to shore up Europe's defense against Russia. Mm-hmm. Just removing that money so he can build his wall. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hear shit about that wall after November.
No. What wall?
And
The last Confederate monument, you know?
Right. The last Confederate monument. That's it. And you don't need a wall because Stephen Miller is in charge of immigration at the White House and he shut it all down. My son's roommate in college, who is supposed to be his roommate next fall and who is still living on campus because he's from Vietnam and he's going to school in the United States. And so Augustana College allowed him to stay on campus because he's from overseas. Mm-hmm. Where could he go? I mean, you know, and he's considering flying back to see his parents this summer. And my son said, don't go. You won't be allowed back in. You know, you want to finish, you want to graduate with me. I want you to graduate with me. I want you to be do senior year with me. You're my roommate next year. You're my housemate next year. Don't leave the country because you won't be let back in. And that's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on is there are a lot of people that want Donald Trump reelected and they have a lot of money.
Yes,
and they have a lot of say as to what the media does.
Mm-hmm.
And this both-siderism, I watched that Chuck Todd thing as well with Katie Tour at the rally, watching these disease vectors chant, pretending it's a whole new movement, connecting it to Donald Trump's reelection campaign. And the minute she's done talking, Chuck Todd replies to her with both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That's his job. He gets paid by the suits at MSNBC to say that.
Right. That's what that...
To change the subject and say that.
It's like a roll of toilet paper. They used up David Gregory for the same task and threw him aside. And they're using the hired people in these roles. This is not a spontaneous outburst of emotion or opinion. These are roles that are being cast on a TV show. Mm-hmm. And in the role of host of Meet the Press, who contractually apparently has to say it's always both sides. It's always both sides. It's never just one or the other. That, and I will bend myself up like a Cirque du Soleil acrobat to avoid saying that it's just the Republicans. That's the job. This is not an accident. Chuck Todd, I can be as pissed at him as I want, and I'm pissed at him mightily every single day because I think that lie is just poisonous. That lie is the accelerant that makes creeps like Trump possible. But it really are the people who run the network, who decided we want this asshole in this job because we want this lie told every fucking day. It's their job. David Brooks, I've been writing about him for 15 years, but the Sulzberger family hired him to be this asshole. And they pay him despite the fact that he has no fucking idea what's going on in the country and just makes up happy talk shit because rich people who live near the Sulzberger family want to believe this to be true. And so that's what his job is. Should those jobs exist? Of course not. Should those rich people have that much power over public opinion? Oh, hell no. But they do. And so this election is going to come down to a desperate attempt beginning right now to level the playing field. Joe Biden has to
be a horse race in November because of ratings.
Joe Biden has to be as bad or as good as Donald Trump. They have to be equivalent. They have to be equally terrible. So Hillary Clinton has to have email problems for every act of sexual predation that Donald Trump committed and bragged about on tape.
But see, that I've heard a lot of frustration from some people in my social circle about Biden not being out there enough. And I think he's playing a very smart game. I frankly feel that the more Joe Biden lets Donald Trump shit the bed over and over and over again and doesn't respond and isn't out there to be. And on the other hand, Biden's emails.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if every day is about Donald Trump, Joe Biden wins.
Yeah. There are podcasters and bloggers that we both know and love who live on social media. And every time Donald Trump tweets something, it's, but don't you realize, you liar, that blah, 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 blah. Well, first of all, you've been blocked or muted by him 10 years ago, 5 years ago. and really getting sparked up over every single lie he tells and just shaking your fist. And don't you realize the GDP is not what you just said it is? Every day, dozens and dozens and dozens of times, doesn't do anything. It demonstrates to your audience what an outraged person you are and how righteous you are. And that's fine.
That may be your brand. I'm not I'm all in favor of liberals having a brand that way. You know, if that's your brand. Go for it.
But the idea that you are actually affecting the conversation, the political conversation, that you're actually nudging the Republican Party or Donald Trump or anybody in any direction
at all. Or nudging the Democratic Party. I don't think you are. Yeah, no.
There's no amount of yelling and fist shaking that is going to budge Republicans from their position. Yeah. Just aren't. And so whether you call him a liar once or call him 1,000 times, we all know what he's like. Mm-hmm. We all know what Republicans are like. We all know that they are reprogrammable meatbags who will do whatever they're told to do every time Sean Hannity takes another shit in their skull. It'll come out their mouth the next day as gospel. That's who they are.
That's why it has to be about Donald Trump and how embarrassing it is that anyone would consider voting for him, because you're not going for the Trump voter. The Trump voter has to be the guy yesterday holding up the sign that said tyrant bitch about the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. That's your party. That's who represents you as a Republican. It's so fucking embarrassing to admit that you're a part of that, that you reach the middle. And that's, you have to reach the middle negatively. I'm sorry about that, but I really think you have to, it has to be a spark that repels them rather than something that they're for, because they don't think about politics that often.
No.
But if it's embarrassing, like it was with John McCain in 2008, really? That the waitress in the restaurant, I've told this story so many times. Some white guy in his 30s sitting at a restaurant with a bunch of his friends after work saying, oh, I think I'm going to vote for McCain. And the waitress and all the women at the table said, really?
Really? Yeah. Yeah. That's
all of a sudden, he was not going to vote for McCain.
Oh, you want to sign the getting laid card ever again card? Because that'd be great.
Embarrassed. Yes. I'm now embarrassed that I said that. So,
well, and local Wingnut social media here in Springfield is doing its job, because it really, I mean, just the most prominent, again, these are pillars of the community, but they are, it's every day there's 20 posts about J.B. Pritzker is fat and his wife is a monster. And look, he shipped out and he doesn't care about America. Look, he has a new haircut. Oh, my God. Barack Obama went golfing. Can you believe the hypocrisy? Let's impeach everyone. Oh, my God. Let's ship Pelosi and Schumer to China. That'll show them nonstop. Because they don't have any place to go. They're stuck in their houses too. So these people are just the worst impulses, the most sort of predatory, lunatic, fringy bullshit. You know, throbbingpatriotpost.com has a breaking story that Screaming Eagle AK-47 post didn't have. And they're just reposting this shit over and over to each other. And they're just getting crazier.
The guy who posted the one that said satire in the title of his website.
And they took it seriously.
Fiction. It was fiction.
Yeah. But the point being that they are distilling their crazy. They're getting more and more potent. And it is, this is something that we have referred to as the tribe that rubs shit in their hair.
Yeah.
And they're all in their caves now, and they're all getting their hair really, really shitty. And they all think it looks beautiful. And the minute they get out in public and people just, they start looking, you're that guy? You're that asshole? Really? They're becoming, I mean, they're solidifying their community. They're a tribe now, and they all respect each other, and they all love each other, and they all promote each other, and they all say, yeah, man, you're right. But that's it. There's no one joining their team because they're so fucking crazy and they're so fucking disgusting and they're so desperate for any conspiracy that props up their deranged worldview that nobody wants to be around them.
We're running out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's
talk about manufacturing renaissance and then do a news roundup.
Well, I also just want to mention for the record that I do not believe that Bernie Sanders was a puppet of Jeff Weaver all this time. Just want that on the record. Just want that on the record. Apparently, one of the more
I don't want to have this fight with anybody.
Well, this isn't a fight. This is simply there are several people on the left who, now that Jeff Weaver has switched sides, believe that, oh, see, he was pulling the strings all along. And I don't believe that. I believe Bernie Sanders made his own decisions. He's a grown man. He's been in the Senate for, you know, many, many decades, and is a thoughtful, intelligent person, and made his own decisions and made his own personnel choices, and has endorsed Joe Biden. It isn't more complicated than that, but there are people who just can't get over that.
And I'm grateful that Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders are working together.
I am too.
This is going to move the party in the direction it needs to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joe Biden alone is weaker than he is with Bernie Sanders pushing him.
Yeah.
And from inside the room, from inside the conversation, coming in and saying, yes, Joe, here's where my voters are. And here's where, if you want to get them excited about your campaign, mm-hmm. here are the issues you need to focus on. That is fantastic news.
Yeah.
And Joe Biden has worked out. I don't know if everyone heard this yesterday from the Associated Press. They now have a pact about future delegates that mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders is going to have delegates that he would not get because mm-hmm. he dropped out.
Right.
That, and who knows what the quote unquote, the convention is going to be. They're going to have to do some stuff by, you know, Zoom room or whatever. The delegations are going to have to figure out. I don't think they're going to be able to have the convention face to face. And but they're going to work all that out. But Bernie Sanders people are going to have more representation in that group as the Democratic National Convention than they would have if he just dropped out and wasn't an agreement with the Biden campaign that, yes, my people will have a voice and will be present as delegates.
Mm-hmm.
Biden gave up delegates to Bernie Sanders. That's what happened
mm-hmm.
in exchange for peace. You know, right. this is politics.
I don't understand how this is not. This is something that you learn in student council in ninth grade.
Yeah, that's not caving. That's building a coalition. You know, you want a third party, you build coalitions with a third party. And that's how parliamentary, this ideal of a parliamentary system, that's how it works. You build coalitions with people you don't agree 100% about things with, right?
You each win a portion because you have a sufficient representation of the population. But then to form a government, you build coalitions.
Yeah. And that's what they've done. The Bernie Sanders camp and the Joe Biden camp have agreed we're not going to fight about primaries anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're each going to have a certain percentage of the delegates, which Bernie would not get if he hadn't agreed to this. They were not going to automatically go to him under Democratic mm-hmm. rules, but Biden said, no, go ahead. So because he needs it to be peaceful on his side of the ticket, right?
He needs a united party.
Right. Yes.
And
so this is a good thing. And Bernie Sanders is not stupid or a pawn or a puppet to anybody. He's doing what he needs to do to get his issues and to move the party in the direction that he wants it to go.
Well, let's remember that Bernie Sanders got rural medical centers.
Right.
For his state.
Community health care.
By brokering a compromise with the Obama administration over the Affordable Care Act. He did not say, I'm not going to give you anything. Medicare for all or bust.
And walk out of the room. He got community medical centers.
Now, he made it very clear that I want Medicare for all. He's never been shy about that. He's been his position. That's great. But he's smart enough to know, here is what I can get now. And this will save lives of people in my community. And I don't give up anything because 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I'll be in a position to make a larger ask and get more of what I want, which is how politics works.
He's exactly doing that. Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. Okay. So talk to me about manufacturing renaissance.
Yeah. Well, there's a group that I helped found, believe it or not, about 16, 17 years ago called Manufacturing Renaissance. It was the Chicago Manufacturing Renaissance Council, but it has since moved to various states, et cetera, et cetera. I literally helped found it with two other people in a hotel room or in a guy's office. And it's done enormous good work in the city of Chicago. I'm no longer there because, you know, this recession came along and suddenly I was out on my ass, and being in manufacturing was not a good thing, and being in workforce development was not a good thing, and being in both of those things was very much not good. But the organization continues. The high school we set up is in its 15th year, 14th year, I think, and doing well. But I have a deep and abiding interest in American manufacturing. Barack Obama thought the program that we set up was a model. Dick Durbin thinks that the thing we did was a model. So I'm very proud of it. But this is where literally the rubber meets the PPE. These are people who actually build shit. and make, you know, here's raw material. Here's the finished product. We're going to make stuff and sell it. And we're an American company.
Well, wasn't part of your job to make sure that there was funding for OSHA training?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
we had small manufacturing plants and so
we
forth.
We did OSHA training. We did lean manufacturing training. We did apprenticeship programs. We had deep roots in the public schools. We changed the curriculum at city colleges and at the high school so that it reflected industry today, not industry 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. We got businesses on board as partners. Our rule was, anytime we go and do a big political ask or a big funding ask from the city, we're asking for millions of dollars, we go in with business, labor, and government and education as a unit. Mm-hmm. We cannot pick us apart on this issue. This issue we all agree must be addressed. And it was very effective. We didn't have actual authority, but we had moral authority. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot done. And they're still doing great things. And so we had manufacturing partners who would fund school programs, who would provide literal machinery in schools to train people on, because they're smart enough to know these high school students and these community college students are my future workforce. And if I don't train them, if I'm not actively involved in helping them learn, I will be out of business in 10 years. So that was the plan. And it worked really well until this, you know, again, this giant recession came along. But I still keep track
of it. You wanted to talk about this in light of COVID.
I did. Because they do publish a newsletter and I'm on their newsletter mailing list and I still keep tabs on them and I stay in touch. And the hiring portion of this from the newsletter, most manufacturing partners aren't hiring at this time. They do not want to make commitments to people they can't keep. They're waiting to see what happens. Orders are low due to business being closed for most metal fabrication environments. Food, plastic, consumer products, corrugated and packaging are steady as far as production, but they're only hiring skill positions or hard to find skill sets. All of the positions are being filled by temps. So they're critical. They're a critical industry and they are on their back foot. They're doing the best they can, but there's a lot of stuff they just can't do during this. And it's one of those things that you don't think about until it isn't happening anymore. And then the Renaissance staff is still in touch with local business owners, local manufacturers, local labor people, and they send out feelers to see how you're doing, what's going on, and whatnot. And one from this week is from a guy I actually know, Craig Friedman. He's a CEO of Friedman Seating. Hmm. And he says, the virus has permeated every aspect of our lives. As an essential manufacturer, we've been doing our best to keep our lines open, but it's been challenging. Our main goal is to keep our workforce safe. You hear that, meat manufacturers?
Wow.
Those who do not feel comfortable coming in or of course, are sick, do not need to come in. We have roughly 65% attendance. We're taking long weekends to sanitize the facility to provide comfort and security for our valued associates. I'm amazed at the resiliency and determination of not only our team, but those nonprofits like Manufacturing Renaissance, yay, and Westside Forward and JARC, which is the Jane Addams Resource Center, which does great work. We're pushing ahead to serve those most in need during this crisis. These are organizations that really do work with poor people, people in dire situations.
Yep, hungry people. Yep,
We are manufacturing non-medical face masks for use by the general public. We've been donating to the local police and police district along with the CTA and PACE. That's the public transit system. And they're just doing the best they can. These are people who really, really work hard to be good community members and good community citizens. And on this Labor Day, on this International Worker Day.
International Labor Day.
And with so many companies rightly being dragged through the mud, dragged over the coals for the way they treat their workers and being union busters.
The way they try to scrape up federal funds that they don't deserve.
And shoving people.
Overpay their CEOs. Yeah.
Shoving people into dangerous work environments and then putting a gun to their head and said, if you stay home, you don't get unemployment because neener, neener.
Right. Because we own the governor, and we know which party that is. Yeah.
There are really responsible companies out there that one of my friends does.
If management is willing to meet you and say, look, the number one thing is everybody be safe. And if that means I have to shut down, we'll do it. Yeah. But let's see what we can do to stay open because that's better for everybody. Let's try. I don't know a single company where the workers wouldn't want to help their company stay open. No. That's just normal.
No, and this is a seating company, and they're shifting over to making masks, non-medical masks for the CTA, CTA and PACE. Yeah. That's the Chicago Transit Authority. the bus lines and the train lines, which is how people get around in large cities. So, which is a crowded environment. So
it's very, it's frightening.
And so making face masks for those is actually really important. It's not something you think about right away, but it really is important. So my hat's off to
Freeman Seating
and all my buddies back at Manufacturing Renaissance.
Hey, Drift Glass, I want to switch gears real quick and just it's not often that we congratulate a cable news host.
No, never. We never do that.
But Anderson Cooper has a little baby.
He does have a little baby.
And he's so cute. And had it by surrogate. And you said this morning, and you, I asked you to type it in our notes because it is so true. We have lived to see the day when a gay anchor of a major cable news network can go on the air, introduce his baby son born of a surrogate, and celebrate family values.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a remarkable thing.
So much winning, Blue Gal.
So much winning. So much winning. So much winning. You watched the Parks and Rec show. I haven't watched it yet. No spoilers.
No spoilers. I caught the last half of it because I was busy doing something else, but it's really good. It's really wonderful. It's sweet. And I urge you all to watch. And of course, they're raising money for food banks. And if you can, give money to food banks because, man, there's a lot of people out there who are really hurting now, who are hurting beforehand, and it's just devastating.
Can we do a shout out to our friend Melissa?
Yes.
She did a fundraiser. She did a fundraiser on Facebook this week for menstrual supplies for poor women who are, you know, not able to afford when you're out of work. And that's a necessity.
It is a necessity.
And, you know, she was hoping to be able to buy a case to distribute.
Yeah.
And I think she raised 10 times what she thought she was going to raise. She certainly raised 7 or 8 times what she thought she was going to raise. So that's just terrific. And that was just one person deciding to make a difference. And we're very proud of her. All right, let's do a news roundup.
Okay.
3.4 million Americans filed first-time unemployment claims this week, bringing the six-week total to more than 30 million unemployed. If you are one of those people, we are thinking of you and hope you're keeping body and soul together. We're with you. It's a tough, tough time.
It is. More than 1 million Americans are known to have contracted COVID-19. That number is probably much higher due to grossly inadequate testing.
Trump said out loud regarding pandemic funding for Democrat states, if we do that, we're going to have to get something for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what that's called in Latin?
Quid pro quo.
Yeah, that's a quid pro quo. That's literally holding individual states hostage to the whims of the lunatic in the White House. Our brand new White House press secretary, Kelly, declared that Trump's, quote, total exoneration in the Russia probe before abruptly ending the briefing today.
She did that today?
Yep.
She started talking about Russia?
Right. Total exoneration. Total exoneration. Because she's wearing that shock collar. And if she doesn't say that, she gets a jolt. Then she added, everyone should watch the Fox News town hall from 7 to 10 p.m. It will be can't-miss television, like the highly rated President Trump coronavirus task force briefings have been, which is just new low. It's a new low.
Yeah, this is a town hall with Donald Trump.
Yeah, on Fox.
Still during the primary season, and it really should be in-kind campaign contribution. Yeah. They have it on their Chiron, right next to their Chiron, a picture of President Trump. President Trump is on the screen of Fox now, 24/7.
Because it's can't miss television, and it's highly rated. I mean, those are the two most important things.
And
really,
it's being promoted. So it's being promoted by the White House.
Yeah.
And Fox News is promoting the Trump campaign.
It's 2 minutes hate. Now it's a two-hour long, but that's what it's going to be.
But 24/7, Donald Trump's face is on the Fox News screen. Yep.
They love Big Brother, honey. They love Big Brother.
Oh, man. Trump dismisses coronavirus relief for states and local communities because he says only Democratic states are struggling. Republican states are in strong shape. Is that luck or talent, he said.
Yeah, or just a lie. Laura Ingraham is now openly retweeting white nationalists, which is so on brand for her.
Very on brand. The Republican-led Michigan House did not extend coronavirus emergency declaration. They voted to sue Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who is polling about 25 points ahead of President Stupid on coronavirus response in Michigan. She's at like 61% approval rating in Michigan. And that is something that every news outlet, when if they have to cover these COVIDiots,
yeah,
you know, doing the protests, they should note in the state where this is happening how unpopular that is.
Yeah,
it is over 60% of Republicans who think the shutdown needs to continue.
Yeah. NBC News is reporting the Trump administration is cornering the markets on tests, PPE, and ventilators. Agencies are seizing and or buying shipments of goods stopped by the Department of Justice Task Force. And the White House is directing acquisitions and allocations of even private goods. Colorado and Maryland have hidden their COVID tests arriving from South Korea from Donald Trump so they don't get stolen.
Yep.
Yeah, this is strongman. Behavior. This is how a mob boss or a tin pot dictator behaves.
We talk about the old line of if all you have is a hammer, every problem is a nail.
Yeah.
If the only thing that you've gained any success in your life is slapping your name on something and marketing it,
yeah,
and you look at this, then you say, put Jared in a room with a couple of hedge fund guys, have them all on Gmail and private phone servers, and try to make a profit off of branding healthcare.
Well,
that's what they're trying to do, is make this a Trump-solved problem. Trump Incorporated.
This is also, if I understand the concept correctly, a water emperor, which is the emperor controls the water supply.
Wow.
And the emperor can divert water wherever he wants. Now, in times of – he can just divert water away from the disloyal province and starve them to death and give water to the loyal. Now, if there's two equally loyal province, what does he do? Well, he tosses a coin. One of them will die and not be a problem. The other one will survive and be eternally loyal. This is how dictators think. This is how Donald Trump thinks. He thinks of himself as king of the United States. And if getting him off the hook, if increasing his electoral chances means starving Democratic states, punishing sanctuary cities and punishing Democratic states will, you know, kill a few people there, suffer, make them suffer, put them down, mail-in voting, you know, we'll hold the post office hostage. This is how dictators think and behave. Donald Trump thinks he's a dictator. And the only thing stopping him from fully locking in and being a dictator is the election in November.
A small airport in North Dakota has now received enough money under the federal stimulus law to cover its expenses for 50 years. JFK International Airport in New York City has been given enough for 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, we love you.
Yes. We should also know that today is the first day of masks on mandatory here in Illinois. So
outdoor masks are mandatory here.
And tempers are flaring at Humphrey's Market, I understand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do not like going. They're not allowing people in the door without masks.
Yeah.
There's also another protest here. Even as we are recording this, the Open Illinois Plague Rats, the state capitol, just a couple of miles from here, are having another protest. Standing around the state capitol screaming about freedom and passing the bug along to as many people as they can. So,
wow.
Yeah. Welcome to Illinois.
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Meru, after the mountain in the Himalayas. And our listener writes in and says, he is our beautiful mackerel tabby overlord. Now, for some reason, Meru's favorite food in the whole world is apples. I don't get it, but, you know, cats are... There was a vet in our life at one time who said, yeah, cats are weird.
Cats are weird.
that was his answer to everything.
I had a question about a thing, and I didn't know cats are weird.
Cats are weird. Meru demands that we hold an apple in place for him so he can more easily lick it. Okay. This Meru knows who's in charge, right?
Mm-hmm.
He certainly likes freshly poured cat food, but he'll honestly try to eat anything that enters his realm, especially if it is junk on the ground. So perhaps his favorite cat, quote unquote, food is actually whatever is freshly floored. Yeah. Our listener writes, thank you, Blue Gal and Driftglass, for all that you do. We cannot express how meaningful it is to have clear-eyed and passionate people like you to listen to. Thank you. That's sweet of you. And yes, Meru will, you know, condescend to eating Freshly Poured Cat Food, our fake sponsor. Mm-hmm. Whether you serve Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Direct, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the food they eat is only freshly poured. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. And you can visit Mehru at our Facebook page or website. And you can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Be aware, this is not a sweepstakes. Everyone's a winner. If you send in a pet, eventually they will be Internet Pet of the Week. Mm-hmm. We do not discriminate. We're glad to have all of your pictures. Just send us a picture of your pet, and eventually it will be selected. You can also write to both of us at proleftpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Hashtag save the post office. Mm-hmm. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal postal address information. It's not too late to get merch. It's a perfect time to get merch in time for the election. We have Both Sides Don't t-shirts, all kinds of stuff. It's all there at proleftpod.com. Please share our show on social media. And there were a lot of people doing that this week. We certainly do appreciate it.
Thank you. Suddenly there's an uptick. I really appreciate it.
A little bit of an uptick. Yeah. Thank you very much for recommending during the stay-at-home time that people listen to our podcast. That's very sweet, and we really appreciate it. Hey, Driftglass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the Internet Kitties remind everyone to chop wood, carry water, and get the good catnip, even if it costs a little more.
Let's think about living. Let's think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whine and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2019-2020, DGBG Productions.